Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. First, I'd like to give honor to God, to His Son, Jesus Christ, to each and every one here named by name. I'm indeed glad to be here. I thank and I praise God for life, health, and strength. I thank and I praise God for He is a good and gracious God. I thank and I praise God for watching over us day and night, touching us with a thing of love, waking us up in the morning, and finding ourselves in our right mind. And I just thank and I praise God for that, thanking and praising God for my family, thanking and praising God for all things, and for this radio station, for this radio program, for all the brother dogs do for us. I just thank God and ask God to continue to bless him. And I'm asking you to pray my strength in the Lord. At this time I... Okay. At this time, we're going to open up with a prayer. Praise God. And I'm just going to ask Brother D if he'll just go ahead and open us up with a prayer.
Amen. 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 Good evening, my brothers and sisters. As always, we're indeed glad to be back with you guys again. She asked me if we could do a prayer to open the service. And the Bible tells man to be ye also ready. So I'm asking each and every one of my brothers and sisters that's listening today, you bow your heads, give God your heart, give God your ear, and you know that we're at prayer along with us as we pray.
Amen.
Father God, we come to you this evening. Father, just come just to tell you thank you, Lord. We want to thank you, Father, for what you're about to do in our lives. We want to thank you for what you've already done in our lives. We want to thank you for the service today. We pray, Father, that you would touch the speaker today, that the words that she gives today will come from the words that you have allowed to be penned in your 66. We pray, Father, that everything be said today be nothing but the uncut true word of God. Praying that it will touch someone's heart today, that they would want to get a better relationship with you, those that have. Those that don't have, Lord, we pray that they want to get a relationship with you, get to know the man for themselves in the pond of their sin. Lord, we know that you can, Father, and we know that you're able, and we know that you will. We have to just continue to stand by us, Lord. Continue to give us more knowledge and understanding of you. Continue to guide us, Father, as we go through this borrowed land. Continue to bless us, Lord Jesus. Continue to keep us, Lord Jesus, in a mighty way. Knowing, Father, that we're kept by you, we will be kept. Lord, we need you like we never needed you before. We find ourselves, Father, in a cruel world where death is just raging like the June bugs in the summer sun. Father, people are killing just to be killed. People are shooting just to shoot. But we know that you are a right now God. We know that you are a healer. We know you are a provider. We know you as a way maker, Lord. We ask that you would just touch and make a way out of no way. Bless these people today, Father. Bless those that have lost loved ones. Give them an understanding of your word. Give them a mind to know that you make no mistakes. Give them a mind to want to just say, Father, even though we lost a loved one, we know that you are still God. We love you, Lord.
Yeah.
Bless those that are sick today. Let them know that all sickness is not unto death. Let them know, Lord, that if called home, will you be ready? In the mighty name of Jesus, will you be ready? Lord, we love you, Lord, and we place no one above you. With as you continue to bless, continue to touch, and continue to keep. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. I truly thank Brother D for that prayer. Such a beautiful, beautiful prayer. Just an awesome way to start a service. Awesome way to start a date. You know, it's always good to put God before everything.
Yes, yes, yes.
Glory be to God. And I just thank him for that. I thank God for blessing me. I didn't make it on yesterday when I realized wasn't keeping up with the time, but I had to go to the doctor on yesterday. It was so late when I got there because he had to fit me in, and I was the last person there. So I ended up too late getting back to be on the phone, and I just want to apologize to Brother B and Brother Sam for that. It was not intentional. It was just something that had to be done, and I had to take care of that. And at this time, we're going to go ahead. We're going to talk a little bit. You know, oftentimes we talk about Ruth, but you don't hear very much about Esther. And God put this in my heart today to talk about her. And I read this over and over again, and I mean, it's just amazing of the faith that man of old had in God that we need. So we're going to talk today on Esther. It'll be throughout the book. And we're going to use for a subject, when God is for you, who can stand against you?
Who can be against you? Come on.
Who
now.
Can fight against the child of
who
the Almighty God?
Amen.
Glory be to God. So this was not an easy task for Esther and Mordecai, but the thing that I realized, I don't care what we go through. I don't care if it's 50 years later in our life. God already knew we was going through it before the day we was born, before we was even born. So God had already made preparation for Esther and Mordecai. And the thing is, God wants to see our faith. And he got a change. He saw the faith that Mordecai had. And he knew that Esther was humble and would do what Mordecai had her to do. So we're going to start with Esther on today. Esther, as you know, was a Jew. And she ended up being a queen and being the queen and Ahasuerus' queen. So we're going to go into how she got that position. And Ahasuerus had been over that kingdom for 3 years, and his accomplishments was great, and he just wanted to celebrate, show people his accomplishment. And overall, basically, he was kind of a good king. So he sent for his wife. When he was having the feast, he sent for Vashti. the queen, so he could show her beauty off. She refused to come. You know, I read this 3 times, Brother D, before it really dawned on me exactly what was going on. She refused to come. See, God was making a way for Esther right then.
Right then.
Because she wasn't come. See, that's what God do in our lives if we're letting. If we pay attention, God will move somebody to put us in.
Yes, he
will. That's his servant that trusts and believes in him. He will fight that battle for you. He will move that person. And you wonder, oh, my God, I wonder what happened to that person, blah, blah, blah. And then you end up in that position. God moved that person to give you that position. And this is how God works for his people, for ones that believe in him. So Queen Vashti wouldn't come. So the king got his people to work with him together and want to know what should he do with Queen Vashti. See, overall, she had really committed a sin at that point as far as the king is concerned, because back in those days, the women did what they were told. The queen did what the king told her to do. Okay, so she wouldn't come. So he asked his workers, the one that worked in his chamberlain. He wanted to know what could he do with Queen Vashti. That was something to really think about, because with her refusal, it was not only to him, but look how it made him look in front of his subjects. Now, the king had 127 providence. So, mind you, he was basically spread it all over the place, from India to Ethiopia. So he was spread it all over the place. So something like this happened, it's going to be well known. And just imagine how it's going to make the king look. But, you know, when God is in the plan, when he does something, Brother D, he does it seamlessly.
Yes, he will. Yes, he
will. It's not rowdy. It's no fussing, fight, or anything. He does it seamlessly. So he wanted to know what to do with the queen. So in verse 16, and Memucan answered before the king and the princess, Vashti, the queen, has not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husband in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king and Ahasuerus commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, but she would not come. She refused to come. So this is what they came up with. So now, Memucan came up with, told the king, he said, if it pleases the king, let there be a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before the king and Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. Now, if you notice, as I was reading that, and I read that 2 or 3 times, the king really did not get mad that he did not like the fact that she didn't come in to him. He didn't get rowdy. He didn't say off with her head or anything. He asked, what should we do with her? So now, can you see how God is working in this plan already? It didn't even tell if he put her out of the castle. It's just that I believe he removed her from the king and just made her a regular harem just like everybody else. So they came to the point that they would remove her because of her disobedience to the king and because of how she would make the king look if they didn't do something. So all in all, what they said made a lot of sense. Then they said to the king, the king's servant said unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king. So they were looking for fair young virgins to replace Queen Vashti. So now, this is where we come in, that Mordecai and Esther come in. So now Shushan, the palace where there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jah, the son of Shimi, and the son of Kish, the Benjamite. So he was a Jew. Mordecai was a Jew, okay? And his job, he always, if you read Esther before, he was always sitting at the gate of the palace. His job was a gatekeeper. So he would keep the gate. He wouldn't let anyone in that shouldn't go in. Okay. So they brought Esther to the king. Now, Esther originally was they didn't go to adoption, but Mordecai raised her as his daughter. Esther's parents, her father was Mordecai's uncle. So he had lost his uncle and she had lost her father and her mother. And Mordecai had no one. His mother, his father was dead too. So he decided he would raise Esther. So he raised her, though he was her cousin, he raised her as his daughter. And he did a great job because you will see how obedient she was to him, how she treated him the way he treated her. Whatsoever he asked of her, if it was within her power, she was going to do it. Okay, so Mordecai brought up Esther, now his uncle's daughter, but she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother was dead, for his own daughter. Glory be to God. So it came to pass when the king commanded, and his decree was heard, and when many maidens was gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. Now, mind you, they had to go through a 12-month period of cleansing before they could go before the king. So she went through that 12-month cleansing. Glory be to God. Okay? And I'm skipping around because I want you to get everything, and I want you to see how God took care of Esther and Mordecai and the Jews and how seamlessly he did it. Now, mind you, I want you to pay a special attention to the information on Haman. And at this point, he became the king's second in command, second to the king. So Now, Esther was taken unto the king. She was taken unto the king Ahasuerus into his house, royal in the tent, where they go through these 10th months and stuff. But the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set his royal crown up on her head and made her king instead of Vashti. Now that shows you that the favor of God was put on his people, that the king looked at Esther and immediately found favor with her, showed favor to her. He immediately fell in love with her because Esther was set in that palace. She was made queen for a reason. But you know what? That's the thing about God. He goes through the steps, and he does things in his time. And mind you, even with your wicked plan, God's plan works with your plan to work against you. And this is what he did. See, that's the thing that we don't look at. We can't serve God enough or worship him enough or show honor to him enough or praise to him enough that he can show favor to us or have enough faith. Because everything we do that is in the will of God with anybody, it's because we have faith in God, especially a person that don't believe in God. And you have to deal with that person day in or day out. And he said in his word, he said he'll make your enemy be your pursuit. And oftentimes I hear Brother Devo say that God's word don't come back to him, boy. What it was set out to do. When God speaks something, brothers and sisters, that is it. When he's speaking, it's already done. I don't care if it's not done right then. He has to set time, but it's already done. When he speaks, it does not come back to him void. Now, he already said, glory be to God, that he'll make your enemy your footstool. Can you imagine somebody hating your guts for no reason that they even know themselves? And God takes that same person and makes them humble to you. Can you imagine how embarrassing and how hurt that is? And the thing about it is nothing your enemy can do about it. But be humble. But do what he needs to do that God has him to do. Do whatever is pleasing to you. So when God do things, He do it thoroughly, respectfully, and so easy and seamless. See, he's a God of peace. He's not a God of confusion.
Amen.
So he
Amen.
Does things not where it's confusing, but it's so seamless, Brother D, that you don't even realize what's going on. And the thing about it, one thing you do realize, there's nothing you can do about it. Okay. So Esther was made the queen. So at this time, Mordecai still sits at the gate of the palace. And though Haman was made second to the king, now Mordecai worshiped God. Mordecai would do what anything the king have him to do, but he would not bow down to Haman. And Haman being in the position that he was in, he was upset about it. He felt like who Mordecai think he is, a little lonely nobody that looked down on him. And see, the thing is, what I love about Mordecai, the thing that he did, he was bold with it. He didn't worry about if somebody would kill him. He didn't worry about Haman's attitude. He still would not bow down to Haman. Haman was not the king, and Haman certainly was not God. And Mordecai refused to bow down. And see, that's the thing. That's the thing with God's people today. We'll go along with wrongdoing or wrongdoers because we don't want to get in trouble. We don't have the faith to believe that God will bring us out. We don't have the faith to believe that God will fight that battle for us. So we take it to on ourselves and give in and humble us ourselves down to the very devil in hell. And that is not God's will. We call ourselves children of God. We got to walk with boldness. We got to be unmovable. We got to have so much faith that no matter what comes after us, we got to be able to stand. Stand for holiness. Stand for righteousness. Stand. God didn't tell you to go jump on nobody and fight him. He said, stand still. Glory be to God. Haman got upset because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. He was very upset about that. So he's looking at his position being so high. See, some people don't need a position. But see, this is all in God's plan. That position brought out everything so that God could deal with it, which God already knew. But see, he used Esther to help Mordecai free the Jews. Okay, so we're going to go on a little bit further. Okay, it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see where the Mordecai matter was saying, for he told them that he was a Jew. So now, mind you, now that was something that Haman could use against him, the fact that he was a Jew. So when they told him that, that was all Haman needed to hear. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not down, nor did he reverence, then was Haman full of wrath. So Haman got mad because Mordecai wouldn't bow, and he wouldn't even recognize him. He just like he was a nobody passing through. Haman upset because he's looking at the position he was in, and then he's looking at the position Mordecai, nobody is in, and he got the nerve not to bow down to him. And don't that sound like some of us? We see people that have nothing, and we got something. We got the audacity. We got the nerve to look down on that person, not recognizing, not even accepting that this is a child of God. Just like God got him down, if he so choose, he could pick him up. But some people are down for us to help. But we don't see it like that. We'd rather talk about them, laugh at them, hate them, despise them. We'd rather do anything but love. But then we say we are children of God, but we don't love each other. Glory be to God. And our Bible tells us God is love. He also tell us, be ye holy, for I am holy. Excuse me. this is what God is telling us, that this is not the life that we are living. Glory be to God. So, and he thought going to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore, Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. Now, just remember, the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus was 127 inhabitants from India to Ethiopia. So he had a huge kingdom that he was over. So he set Mordecai over these kingdoms to oversee. I'm sorry, he set Haman over these kingdoms to oversee them. But Haman had an evil heart. Haman only liked the position for the people to look up at him and bow to him. He did not have love in his heart whatsoever. So Haman said unto the king, now look at this vicious demon. Haman said unto the king, to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain person scattered abroad and despised among the people in the province of the kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's prophet to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it and sue the king's treasure. So when he doing all this talking to the king, everything seemed good to the king, and the king took his ring off and gave it to him. So whatsoever he do, he still it with the king's ring. That's like the king actually did it himself, because his seal is upon it. So Haman decided he would send out a letter and seal it with the king's ring. So the letter, So the letter was for them to kill all the Jews, children, women, men, boys, all the Jews. Haman didn't plan on having any left. So he sent out the letter, and Mordecai was a little bit, he got a lot upset about that. So what he did, see, now rather than fight, now look at what he did. He pulled off his clothes and he put on sackcloth with ashes and sat down at the king's gate. He humbled himself. He knew that God was going to do something. Glory be to God. So when Esther heard what he had done, when she heard it, she sent the one that that the king had put to help her, from the king's chamberlain to help her. So when she heard it, she sent a message to Mordecai. Glory be to God. She sent a message to Mordecai, and she sent him clothes. He refused them clothes. And she wanted to know what was going on. So he sent back word exactly what was going on. And he said, and in every providence, whithersoever the king command and his decree came, there was great mourning among the Jews, and fasting and weeping and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther maid and her chamberlain came and told her. Then the queen, she was upset about it. She was grieved, and she sent Mordecai some clothes that he rejected. So he told her everything that Haman had done. So what she told them to do, she sent message to Mordecai to gather all the Jews together and for them to fast and pray for 3 days and three nights. Don't eat anything. Don't drink anything. And when I looked at that, I said, Lord, I said, if we could give ourselves to God that way when we need something done, when we want something done, even the things that's going on this earth, the killing, the shooting, the earthquake, the diseases, all this stuff that's going on, even the rain and the flood, people dying every day. If the people would get together and fast, you know what? It don't even have to be 3 days. It can be 1 day. It can be you could fast every day from the time you get up to 12 o'clock in the day and pray. And you will see God work. But we don't have time for God. We don't have enough faith to believe that if we fast and pray, that God would move for us. We don't have the faith that we need to make God move. We don't have that faith. For if we had the faith that we would fast and think nothing of it, and we would humble ourselves and pray. But we done got too cute to get on our knees. We ain't going to sit in no dirt or on no ground, on no floor. We're not going to do that. We can't humble ourselves to God the way that we need to. So, now, Mordecai had told Esther she's going to have to go to the king as she is the queen. And talk to him before Haman killed all the Jews. Now, mind you, Haman had a set date to do this. See how God made that work out? He had a set date to do this. And he wouldn't do it up until that date because he had things he needed to do in order to get rid of Mordecai. Mordecai was like a thorn in his side, because Mordecai wouldn't humble down and bow down to him. Mordecai set his heart on God, and he would only bow down to God. He would help the king. He would do what the king needed him to do. So I guess he would bow to the king because that was his job. But Haman was nothing but a person that worked for the king. In Mordecai's eyesight, no matter what position he had. And you know, sometimes people can see the type of person you are that make them not deal with you. Sometimes God revealed that person, ways and personality to you that makes you not want to get too involved with that person. And Mordecai would not allow himself to get overly involved with Haman. So Haman got upset. Matter of fact, when Haman walked up, Mordecai wouldn't even pay him no attention. It's just like he never walked through the gate. And that hurt Haman's feeling. That upset him because he felt like with my position, how can he turn his back on me? How can he not bow down to me? And this is what a lot of us do. So Esther put on her royal clothes and she went to see the king because Mordecai had told her, let her know, if you don't do something, not only are they going to kill the Jews, they're going to kill you too because you are a Jew. So that kind of resonated with Esther. So she went to see the king. So the king allowed her. Normally, you don't go see the king without a prior request. But look how God blessed her that the king showed favor to her whenever she walked up. He saw her out there, and he bidded her to come in. So she came in. She touched the golden scepter, and he wanted to know what her purpose for coming. Okay. So now the king let Esther know that he would give her anything she asked, anything she wanted, including half of the kingdom. Now, that's some kind of favor. But Esther was not a greedy person. She was a queen that the only thing she wanted to do was see her people living happily. So Esther answered, "If it seems good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared." Now, so when Haman got there, oh my goodness, he was happy because he thought something good was going to happen to him. But when he got there, she put it off. She put it off to the next day and said she wanted the king and Haman to come the next day to the banquet that she had. In the meantime, at this point, I don't think Haman knows that Esther was related to Mordecai. So in the meantime, he goes home, talks to his wife and his friends, and they decided it would be better if he make a gallows to hang Mordecai on, a 50 feet tall gallows to hang Mordecai on. And he had it done. But now let me show you how God worked with the king. So now on that night, could not the king sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. And they was read before the king. Now look what the king found out. And it was found written that Mordecai had told the Bricatha and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keeper of the door, who sought to lay hands on the Ahasuerus. So Mordecai had stopped the king from getting killed. And Esther made sure it was written so that the king would eventually one day see it. But see, God worried him that night. Now, just imagine you get up out of your sleep, can't sleep, brother, and all of a sudden you just want to hear the reading of the Book of Chronicles. So, okay, and it was found written that Mordecai had told the king about these two people were seeking to kill him. And the king said, "What honor and dignity has been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servant that ministered to him, "There is nothing done for him." And the king said, "Who is in the court now?" Haman was coming in. Now let me show you how seamless God did this. I tell you, he had Haman to help him do it. That's the thing that's so funny. That's how God works things out. So the king called Haman in. He said, and the king's servant said unto him, "Behold, Haman standeth in the court." And the king said, "Let him come in." So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now, then you notice, "What shall be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor?" Now, Haman thought he was talking about him. He just made him second to him. So, yes. So now Haman thought in his heart, "To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself?" And Haman answered the king, "For the man who the king delighted to honor." Now, this is what Haman told the king to do. He said, "Let the royal apparel be brought with the king, uses to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the crown royal which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and the house and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted. Now this is what Haman had suggested that the king do. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai, the Jew, that sitteth on the king's gate. Let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. So now we know that Haman got real upset about this, because he looking at Mordecai being worshiped. See, he didn't know why the king was showing honor to Mordecai. Only thing he knew, what they were doing to Mordecai, they should have been doing to him. But this man had so much hatred in him, only thing he could see was him. He had so much hatred against Mordecai because Mordecai wouldn't bow down to him. So truly, he was upset about that. I'm about to get ready to close up now. So the king and Mordecai went to the banquet with Esther the next day. And once again, the king says to Esther, on the second day of the banquet, he said, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen, I mind you, don't forget, Haman is sitting there. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. Now, see, the king didn't know anything about the petition that Haman had sent out. She said, for we are sold, and I and my people to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we have been sold for bondsmen and bondswomen, I had held my tongue. In other words, I wouldn't have said anything. Although the enemy could not canter all the king's damage. Okay, then the king, Ahasuerus, answered and said unto Esther, the queen, who is he, and what is he that doeth presume in his heart to do that? So, now look how God worked it all against him, right there to his face, and was nothing he could say. And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid because the king and the queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine, in his wrath went into the palace garden. He went out and came back again. But when he came back, he found Haman on the queen's bed. Actually, he was begging for his life, but the queen took it differently. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was falling up on the bed where Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they immediately covered Haman. So Habanah, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also the gallows 50 cubit high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. So they hung Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king pacified. Now you see, he has did all of this. He had did all of this so that he could kill the Jew, so he could hang Mordecai because he hated him so bad. Look what God did. God took that evil that he had spun and turned it around and used it on him. You see how God do when people seek to hurt us? When people seek to hurt God's people and they remain humble and prayerful and trust God? Do you see what God will do for you? He'll take what your enemy got against you and use it against them. Don't you think people don't set traps for you? When people don't like you, brothers and sisters, they will go out of their way to set a trap for you. But you are a child of God. You got no cause to fall in that trap. All you got to do is pray. All you got to do is trust God and let God fight that battle for you. See, that battle was too big for Mordecai to fight by himself, but he remained steadfast. He remained prayerful to God, and he absolutely refused to bow down to him. God don't want his people to bow down to no devil in hell, no matter who it is. You don't even need to bow down to the president. Who is he? He's just the president of the United States and get beat up just like we do. Glory be to God. So I truly hope you all got something out of this, because I don't know, it was working with my spirit for us to see how God works for his people. See, the Jews was God's chosen people from the beginning. Anyway, Esther, Mordecai was a Jew, one of God's chosen people. Not only that, but they humbled, they worshiped God, and they bowed down to God. They didn't bow down to man. So God dealt with Haman himself for them. God took that gallow that Haman made to hang Mordecai, and Haman ended up hanging on that Mordecai, on that gallow himself. He got himself killed for messing with the people of God. He let his position went to his head like a lot of us do and began to abuse people. He didn't understand that he wasn't the king. It wasn't for him to abuse anybody. If there was something to report, that then report it, but not for you to send requests out to kill people because you didn't like them. So when God is for us again, who can stand against us? Who can stand up against the Almighty God? Who can stand against you? Glory be to God. So I thank God for this day, and I certainly hope somebody got something out of this message. I just hit the highlight because I wanted to, so you to see God working. God was working for his people. He'll work for his people today if we would let it. But we choose to fight our own battle. So I thank God for this day. I thank God for everything that we have heard on today. So at this time, I'm going to take a few minutes and open up for whosoever have something they want to say, have any questions about the lesson, have a testimony, or just something they just want to get off their heart. Anybody? Okay. Okay, we thank God for each and everyone here. Thank God for all the listeners on today. So at this time, we're just going to say a word of prayer. Father God, once again, in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your blood that you keep us covered with each and every day of our lives. Father God, we thank you for each and every one that came out today to hear the word on today. Father God, I certainly hope that the word touch somebody's heart. Father God, and we ask you to just continue to bless. Bless the sick, the needy, the young, the old, the poor, the homeless. Bless your people all over the world, Jesus. Father God, bless the people that was hit by the winds on last week, Father God. Father God, I ask you to shield your people from all the things that's going on in this world. Father God, and we just ask you to continue to bless. We ask you to bless Brother and Sister Fan and their family, Father God. Bless them to make it through this trying time, Father God. We ask you to bless Brother Tatum as he continues to miss his son, Father God. Give him strength, Father God, that he will be able to look and think on his son with a smile, with a fun smile, and remember the good things. Father God, and we ask you to bless Sister Dina, Sister Emily, Father God, all of your people, Father God. Father God, some of us, Father God, are sick, Father God. Father God, and we ask you to touch right now in the name of your son, Jesus. Father God, some of us, Father God, need help. Father God, send them help, Lord. Father God, we know you're able. Father God, we ask you to bless Brother D, Brother Tim, Brother Dahl, Father God, as we continue to give you a word, Father God, in your holy name, Father God, we just ask you to bless, Father God, and we thank you, Lord, for all things, and we'll be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, Father God, in Jesus' name. Oh, glory be to God. Father God, we just thank you. You're so worthy. You're so good. You just, Lord, I'm going to tell you, you're more than we can even seem to grasp in our minds, Father God. You're everything. You are everything to us. You are mother, our father, our sister, our brother. You are our food, Father God. Father God, you are our breath. You are our life. You are everything. Father God, and we are so careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and thank God.
Amen.
So
amen.
At this time, before I turn over to Brother Dog, I see Brother Dion here, and I thank God for Brother D always being with me and supporting me on my program, on his program. And I just thank God for that. Brother D, did you have anything that you want to add?
I just think, as always, T, I just want to thank the Lord for allowing us to come together again and to be able to hear a portion of his word. As always, God's word is food to the soul. For he said in his word, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's what we do when we're being given God's word. We get a chance to eat and digest. And now we can go and study on what was given today, those that didn't get it, but those that may be a little confused with it, can study on just what was given. And if there's any questions or comments afterwards, please feel free to come back with them. And as always, we do our best through the will of God to answer whatever question or comments you have, whatever question you may have. We can't answer, but through the Lord, our Savior Jesus the Christ, he has never let us down yet. My brother like to say he won't let you look ignorant. He is not going to do it. Not when you're on God's
Amen.
Word. And we're going to stand
Amen.
On God's word. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And that's so true, Brother D. Thank you for those words. Brother D suggested you go back and read Esther. It's only 10 books. I mean, 10 chapters. Only 10 chapters. And that 10th chapter only has 3 verses. So basically it's 9 chapters. So go back and read. And if there's anything you're not sure about, you don't understand, please, please, please come back. We'll discuss it. We'll get together, put our heads together. We'll discuss it, and we'll have it where everybody can understand it. Because when you look at all of this, everything goes back to the faith that you have in God. And if you don't have the faith that you need, faith is not strong as you feel it should be, then go back and pray. Go back to the altar. Fall on your knees and pray. And that's God to give you that faith. Ask God to help your unbelief. Ask God to help your unbelief. And I thank God for everybody that came in on today. And just in way of announcement, be with us again on next Wednesday night, same time, same channel. Also, for a time for reflection. Also, Brother D, Gospel Hour on Tuesday, same time, same channel. We asking you all to be with us. And I certainly hope that you're getting something out of these services, because we just want to get God's word over and give it in a way that is understandable, that you'll understand what we say. That's why a lot of times I don't preach. A lot of times I teach, I read from this Bible, because, you know, I read the way I do from the Bible because I want you to see it's right here. It's nothing I'm saying. It's what God is saying, what God has had man to write, that he has inspired man to write. So it's nothing of myself. I can't do it without him. I cannot do it without him. And I thank God for each and every one of you. And just remember, just continue to come out. And we always open. If you have anything you want to say, just put your hands up and we will discuss whatsoever you have to say. If it's about the lesson or you just have a question or you just have a statement or testimony, whatsoever. Because sometimes your testimony can help somebody else. Sometimes we go through things when we testify, somebody else is going through it and needs that encouragement. So let us not sit down on God. So at this time, I turn the service back into the hands of Brother Dawg.
I'm too close.
Yes, yes.
To my journey's end. I'm too close to turn back into a world of sin.
Yes,
and I wouldn't take nothing for my journey right now. Lord, you know I've just gotta make it to heaven somehow.
Yes,
I'm
yes,
too
yes,
close.
Yes. Too close. Thank you, Lord.
Almost reached my goal. I said I'm
yes.
too close.
Oh.
To finally saving my soul, I'm a true hallelujah to heaven, and I can't turn around. No, no, I can't turn around. I'm too close. I can almost see my God's face.
Yes.
I'm too close. I'll tell the world that I love His grace. I'm so close because He's holding. I want to see my old mother again. Hallelujah. I'm too close.
Too close. Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah.
To be shaking hands with all my friends. I'm too close. Every Friday.
Too close.
can't turn around. All right, Sister Mary, if y'all ain't got anything else going on, Sister Mary, you can hang up. We're going to get out of here. I'm over here at the race track.
All right.
I'm going to talk to the guys for a few minutes. And if they want to keep the show going, I'll let it go on. But thank you, Sister Mary, and good job. Good teaching today. Good prayer. Good prayer. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Y'all
appreciate
have
y'all.
A blessed evening. Okay, bye-bye.
Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, does anybody want to keep it going? Brother D's line is open. Y'all hit the one button so we can, I keep the lines open. I'm down here at the drag strip tonight, and Mario, with a motorcycle tonight, got a big grudge match over there. But he crying because he ain't had time to make a shakedown, so we don't know what's going to happen. Kid, hit the one button, y'all. Hit the one. Brother D, you hear me out there, Brother D?
I mean, you know, I can always talk. You know what I got to talk about, brother.
I agree.
I know the guy's waiting.
Yeah, well, they hit the one button.
I mean, they waiting to hear about it. They waiting on the infamous return of the world renowned, you know. I had the guys on the morning show. I left Rob and them over there talking about the day she going to grace them at the track. So I can always give them something to talk about, bro. Dog. I got to get out this truck right now for a moment. No kid, dog. No kid. Kid falling asleep on his job.
Y'all, hit the one button. I'll hold you up. Hit the one button. I'll hold you up. Kids, y'all there, kids?
Yeah, what up, dog? Awful quiet this
Brother D, y'all there?
This evening.
Y'all talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awful quiet this evening, dog.
Yeah, don't nobody want to say that, kid.
Yeah, yeah. You know how that is. They've been talking
Brother
all day.
Brother, do you know what you
might be, I don't know. He might be in the truck or whatever.
No, I was still at work, kid. But, you know, we could always talk about the return of Lowrider.
Oh, man.
Big Red. I know they want to hear about that. They can't
I
do nothing
that.
Else they want to hear about that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at this workplace, but I know these guys want to find out the date, the time. That bro, T, I'm going to surface with Big Red. My brother Project going to bring their booth.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to cause some problems. Real soon, kid, real soon. We're going to cause some problems right here in this race game.
I heard that. Yes, indeed.
We're going to cause some problems right here. We're going to start right here with a guy called Rob. Yeah, he's been
oh, man.
We got a set date to give him some trouble. He's talking real jazzy. I'm going to go on mute for
a minute.
Oh, man.
I thought Rob had moved. I ain't heard from him.
No more racing. He doing what he need to move.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Talking about races that took place back in 1932.
Oh, man. The year of the Depression in Canada.
I asked him when was the last race he had in 10 years. He couldn't name it. So I dropped to 5. He couldn't name it. I said, "What do you favor? Move all the way down to 3. He still went on the race here. Besides bust down.
Mm-hmm. Lord, him and that was almost 5 years ago, whatever I think.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think this is a lot of what Wick was speaking of last night, though. You know, if you're not doing any racing, you really
mm-hmm.
shouldn't be talking about the guys and trying to hammer the guys that's trying to race, that's
right,
trying to try their cars to race, you know, guys that's trying to get their stuff in order to race, and you're doing nothing but bumping
you
your
got
gun.
A point, though.
Yeah, I think this is what Rick was saying last night. Mm-hmm. He just didn't call Rob's name. You know, but he started with a letter with R and ended with B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're trying to do something, that's a start.
Exactly. If you want to be a bully, you know, you can only be a bully if you're doing something. You can't be a bully
mm-hmm.
just talking.
Mm-mm. Lord, Amos.
That's Rob. That's Rob, little one. Chemo.
Well, these look like they ain't got nothing to talk about tonight. I'm going to go ahead and cut this thing off if y'all ain't got nothing. But
yeah, you,
when y'all hear me,
you
can
sit
down,
dog.
Yeah.
You can. They don't want to come on.
They don't want to come off. Uh-oh. No, that's mailman. He ain't talking about nothing. He don't never want to. But anyway, though, like I said, I'm at the track, and Molly and I got a big old motorcycle race going here tonight for about a whole lot of cookies, I ain't going to say, but so I might go out. I might go live with that if there's nobody doing that. But I appreciate y'all for coming on. Not willing to get on
mm-hmm.
out if there's nobody doing that. All right. We holler at y'all later. All right?
Sit it down, dog. Sit it down.
Okay. All right, brother. All right.
On it.